Welcome into the Playgrounder here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket. I am Josh Zinke. Matt Misler on the other side. Tony O's here as well. Jacob Babbitt, there is no Lions game, so he's not here. NFL coverage starts about 12:30. And then also, we have other things going on. But yeah, so the new guys, I don't know where they are. They always say, yeah, I'll try to get in, and here it is every Sunday. You know, even the one guy last week, Anthony, goes ahead, puts his, oh, I'm going to be there. I put a Twitter out. Oh, I'm going to be there. And, yeah, he wasn't here at all. So, obviously, we're breaking down the Ohio State-Michigan game. 31-20, Ohio State gets the W. They move to 10-2, and they move on to the Big Ten championship game as they will take on Wisconsin next week. We'll talk about all that championship matchup and much more. But let's talk about the game. Obviously, Michigan starts out pretty fast. It's 14-0, but then I guess it's my luck that I get up and, you know, have to come in for women's basketball, which they won. They beat Ohio. But on my way here, all of a sudden Ohio State comes back, ties it up going into halftime. Obviously the third quarter, 7-6, so that it turns out to be, you know, hey, we can do this. We can do this. We're hanging in there, and I thought Michigan's more of a fourth quarter team. You know, they score their most points in the second quarter. All right, fourth quarter, all you have to do is take one drive and take it down there for the score. And I don't think I need to tell you what happens in that one drive because I believe we were all watching it. I don't know if he just got his signals crossed. You know, they asked Harbaugh, was it tipped? I was just hoping, but yes, he threw it the one place he shouldn't. It was in Ohio State's hands, and that pretty much effectively ended the game for the Wolverines. They're 8-4. I think I had them at 9-3 to start the season. The one is, yeah, I had them losing to Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin, not to Michigan State, but yeah, 5-4 for Michigan in the Big Ten. Ohio State 8-1. Like I said, they'll move on. So let's break it down a little bit, guys. Let's break it down a little bit. First, Okorn, what are you guys' thoughts on John Okorn today or yesterday against Ohio State? Tonio?
It was rough watching, especially that last play that you talked about. I feel bad for the kid, you know, because it was not one of the better games that we've seen. And at the end, it really did hurt us. That play was really the dagger. Now there were other plays and there were other chances we had to win, but when you got 2.5 minutes left, you have the ball with a chance to win the game. You can't throw it away. Just uncontested open field first play of the drive. Just give it away. So that was rough watching. I thought the rest of the game was manageable. It was okay. We were winning most of the game. We were in it. Like I said, we had a chance to win with 2.5 minutes left. So it wasn't like the game was that catastrophic from that position standpoint throughout the game. He took what, 5 sacks in the game?
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Some of the throws that the receivers made had to be like they were pretty spectacular catches. The throws themselves weren't perfect, but again, he did enough to get us to the point where at 2.5 minutes we still had a chance to win.
Exactly.
From that point on,
that's what we'll remember is that last pass. I mean, all leading up to it will all be forgotten, you know.
Right.
But it's that last pass that you see. That's the thing that will be most remembered about this game. Miz, you're on the other side.
Yeah, I'm in trouble, apparently.
You're in trouble because one guy doesn't have a Lions game. The other guys say they're showing up.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to try to make it. Why don't you just tell me no? Just be honest. Just
I do know Anthony told me last night.
He changes.
Well, he had a hockey. He had his other job to work. So that's the reason why he's not here. I don't know about the other guys, but.
Right.
As far as John Okorn, I'll openly say this right now, and again, my opinion does not reflect your guys' opinion. With the exception of the Purdue game, this is questionably one of the best games John Okorn has played. I think last night was you took the stats away, you took everything that you had that went into it as far as like, oh, Ohio State is favored by 12 points, Ohio State this, Ohio State that. John O'Korn threw that out the door, and he played himself questionably his best game of his collegiate career. And
At Michigan.
Well, I mean,
he tore it up at Houston. What, that first year as a freshman? Hey, what's the rookie of the year?
But I mean, as in the Maize and Blue, that was questionably his best game of his collegiate career in Maize and Blue. I mean, during the press conference afterwards, where the media would talk to the players afterwards, I mean, you could tell that he was physically and emotionally shook from that interception, and you know he's going to beat himself up over it until the end of time.
Yeah, because
it's going to kill. It's going to kill him. I mean, that's the one thing that, I mean, if you get on, if you take a look, I mean, well, what's his name? The Sparty Slappy that works for WXYZ, who hosts the Sports Cave or whatever his name. I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Michael Who?
Michael Who? Exactly. Yeah. He tweeted out a video after he asked about, you know, his thoughts about the interception, and John O'Korn broke down right in front of everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, kid's got emotion. He played his heart out. And you know what? I feel like Tonio said, I feel bad for the kid. I really do.
Yeah, because they had the chance with, what, 5 minutes to go, one mm-hmm. for four down, fourth and four. You overthrew Evans. And then that, yeah, you think, all right, get the ball back. Defense is going to make a stand. They did, and then
a missed field goal.
Yeah, and then, well, with the, you know, when you see it, and I know I was texting with Tony O, and it was just like, what happened? Like, where was he looking at? Who was he looking at? But, yeah, he's going to remember for a long time because – December 3rd, they'll announce what bowl game they go to, and we'll probably find out before that. But more likely, he probably won't play in that game, depending on Peters and Spate. Those guys might be healthy by the end of the year.
True.
By the 31st or whenever Michigan plays next. Because of that, John O'Korn, that might have been his last game in his college career. And I think that's what he realized. You know, a lot of those seniors realized that when they asked, hey, you know, how are your feelings now? You played your last game. And not just, you know, yeah, we saw O'Korn because he was up front of all the, you know, the media. But there are other guys in the locker room that broke down as well. You just didn't see it because the cameras weren't there. You know, the cameras were, if they were, they kept that as a locker room thing. So, it was just tough because you felt like you were in it. And last night, went to the bar and, I stayed out of the conversations. I usually do. When people want to ask me questions.
Smarter.
Because no one knows who I am anyways. I'm on radio. So no one's like, oh, it's, you know, it's that Matt Misler guy. And I'm like, no, I'm not. That's me. I'm Josh. But you heard the back and forth talk of what was he doing and he shouldn't be in there. But I thought about it last week. I said, you got to stand behind your quarterback. If you're a Michigan fan, it doesn't matter whose name's on the back of the jersey and what number they're wearing. You know, and I think that goes for everyone. That goes for former players. They have everyone else's back because that's still their uniform. And that's still, you know, the Black M, that's everything to them. So I thought that as listeners and people, you know, I know last night, what, it was like 6:08, Ira tweeted out that had the first Fire Harbaugh tweet or call.
Well, yeah, I think during the postgame show, because I popped in right after, you know, right towards the end of it, and right as I was pulling into the parking lot, that's already chopped up because we're waiting for him to put blacktop down.
Yep.
Was someone basically saying, we should fire Jim Harbaugh and we should hire Les Miles. And I'm like, okay, this guy's drunk. You need to go away. And then that's when he tweeted that out, 6:08 in the first fire Jim Harbaugh of the, you know, of the night has come through. That's immediately I just tweeted back, hire Tressel.
Yeah.
Why not?
And I saw people write back to you like, no, it's not.
Obviously, people can't take a joke, but okay.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, Les Miles, what? He was almost back with Lloyd Carr. There was a point there when they were going to go after Miles, and obviously...
He went to Okie State, and then...
And he's gotten older.
Yep.
And older. Not saying he still can't get the job done, but what do you think you do? So let's just say we fire Harbaugh. We is counting Michigan. And what happens next? Where do all the recruits go?
That's exactly...
Where do all the players go?
Where do you go from there?
Yeah, it's never gonna happen.
It's
Sorry.
Not gonna happen. It's done. We've already played that roulette wheel already with Hoke and with Rich Rod. Don't even think that Harbaugh needs to get let go. I mean, the whole like murmurs and rumors of a a lifetime, you know, contract. Yeah, let's pump the brakes on that.
Yeah, I don't know who started that. Where'd that come from?
I don't know.
But it was a firestorm. Who? No one has that.
No, but I mean, if you're worried about Harbaugh jumping to the NFL, which he's already said he isn't, and I don't really think he will, because to be honest with you, that coaching position down in Indianapolis, it's not sexy. It's not a good looking job. I'll be honest with you. If Andrew Luck can't get himself healthy, that job doesn't appeal to him. And as far as I'm concerned, as far as firing Jim Harbaugh, you're dumb if you think that. I'll go ahead and say that. If you think Jim Harbaugh is that this Michigan program be a lot better without Jim Harbaugh, you're dumb. You're still drunk from last night. Sober up. Have a cup of coffee and sober up.
And Miz, you were at the game. Where were you seated?
I was in the end zone.
The M zone?
The M zone, yeah. So it's section 36, so it was 10 sections away from the student section. So, I mean, that was probably the closest I've gotten to the student section before without having to be thrown out, per se. But
right.
This was my first experience of a Michigan-Ohio State game. The only ones I've ever gone to have been, Michigan Western or Michigan Eastern. Michigan.
Right, yeah, yeah. Michigan App State.
Yeah, no, not App State.
I was there.
Yeah. JT was still short. But,
yes,
but I mean, the atmosphere was electric, and I will say this, that – you know, with the obvious, you know, Ohio State fans and Michigan fans, just, you know, there's a lot of friendly jabbing in the stadium. I will say this, that
you stab someone in the stadium.
Yeah, there was friendly stabbing, you know, so it's just like, stab. It's all fun because it's a football game, so it doesn't matter. No, I mean, the fan bases, both of them were very, at least in the area around me, were actually quite cordial. I mean, it was great to experience that rivalry for the first time in the stadium, and it was just unfortunate the results that happened. I mean, that was like you said, it was John O'Korn's best game in the maize and blue uniform, without a doubt.
All right, so O'Korn's final number is 17 for 32, 195, one touchdown, one INT, five sacks. But let's talk maybe Ohio State on the other side. JT, he was short, but he goes 3 for 8, 30 yards. He has a touchdown himself, three sacks. So the injury to him was caused by a cameraman? He doesn't know. He just saw there was a guy that was carrying a camera that hit him in the knee. Was it Tanya Harding?
So this was something that both him and Urban Meyer said, that during pregame warmups, that as they were trying to get B-roll, I'm assuming it had to have been Fox, that they were trying to get B-roll, and the cameraman must have ran into his knee, and that was the small spark that started the proverbial knee injury fire.
Okay.
But, I mean, to put the whole blame on that seems kind of silly. I mean, it would be nice to see some kind of photographic or video evidence to say that that's what happened. And I'm pretty sure there's someone out there that's got any kind of evidence that proves if that statement is true or false. But, that big hit in it was the third quarter, I believe, that took him out. Obviously, he was short on that first down as well, too. That basically just kind of finished the knee injury up altogether.
All right.
Yeah,
so
I watched JT Barrett's explanation, and what he was describing is that there was a cameraman kind of swinging behind him during warmups.
Okay.
To try to get a shot, I guess, and that something on the cameraman or the cameraman himself kind of clipped JD as JD was JT was backing up. But as Miz pointed out, I mean the one good thing about it being a cameraman is there has to be video evidence of it happening. So they can probably find who that was.
Yeah, it's rolling out. It's rolling at most all times because it's just easier just to cut it up than to go
so
turn
cheap,
it on. Yeah, and hit record. It's not that kind of camera. They're just always recording, and it's just putting it somewhere in that truck. It's going to some channel, and it's all recorded. So, yeah, I'm sure. But it's weird that it happened in the pregame, yet he goes 3 for 8 for 30 yards, has the touchdown. But then he also has 15 carries for 84 yards, also a touchdown. You know, if he's injured in the pregame, it must not have been bad enough that he was not able to, you know, only run it for 15 times. And then it looked like when he pushed off the one foot, I don't know if it was ACL or whatever, you could see the leg vibrate. And that usually what's that means. And he tried to get up and walk off, and he sat down, and they took a break, and then he finally went up the tunnel. But, yeah, hopefully he's going to be all right, because you don't want to see anything bad happen to anyone, any of the players. But, I mean, maybe that was probably the worst part. That maybe hurt Michigan because Dwayne Haskins comes in 6 for 7, Not bad, right? 94 yards. Then he was also running the ball. He had 24 yards on 3 attempts. And he's just a freshman. Is this trouble for Michigan if this guy's, you know, because we know JT, I don't think he has any more eligibility left. He's been there 8 years. So is Haskins the guy we now have to worry about? Because he played very well against Michigan, and it looked like maybe they were a little bit of a guessing game compared to when Barrett was in the game to when Haskins was in the game.
Yeah, when Haskins came in, it seemed like our pass defense sort of took a hit there because JT was not – first of all, they weren't relying on JT, but also his passes just weren't nearly as good. So when Haskins came in, they started to use more of the pass, open up more of the passing game, which then caused us to sort of have to not stack the box as much and sort of open up more of the run game too.
A freshman.
True freshman.
And their backup was injured, what, the first or second game? I know that the guy from Saline, what's his name?
I can't remember.
From Sylvania.
Josh Jackson.
Yep.
Yeah.
From Sylvania. He out because we were trying to figure out who their backup was at one point, but he was out. So, yeah, true freshman, 6 or 7, 94 yards. Obviously, you saw him on the sideline near that, you know, the end of the game. And, yeah, he's going to be something that Michigan's going to have to worry about for at least a few years.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, that was the one thing that, you know, when JT went down, obviously, you're watching all the quarterbacks, you know, near the Ohio State sideline, and they're all throwing the ball around. And we're like, okay, so who's the guy to step up? We didn't know until...
Germain came out of nowhere.
Yeah, apparently Cardell Jones III had himself an extra year of eligibility. We just didn't know. But when we saw Haskins, you know, jog out onto the field and into the huddle, it's like, oh, okay, so that's who's taking over. And I had no idea of who he was, obviously, leading up to that point.
Yeah, nope. I don't think a lot of us did, but that's the bad thing is, yeah, he came in, did very well. And yeah, obviously, if you got to give an MVP to that side of that team, it's got to go to him because yeah, 6 for 7, 94 yards as a freshman, and then also did the job on the ground as well as he ran 3 times for 24 yards, and his longest was 22. So yeah, 2 carries worth nothing, but one long enough to So that's tough. But all right, we're gonna have a few callers as well. Then we're gonna talk more about the offensive side of the ball. We'll talk running backs, wide receivers, and much more. If you want to call in and join us, 734-998-1050, 734-998-1050. Today, Tony O, what's the hang-up word?
The hang-up word.
It's called, if you say fire hardball, you get the instant bye-bye right here from the playground. That's a special treat for everyone's holidays. If you want to say fire hardball, more than welcome. You can call in 734-998-1050. But, yes, you will be quickly escorted off the playground very fast. So, we want to look at the run game right now. 36 carries overall for 147. But you got to have the minus 35 from O'Korn's sacks. Plus, he ran a few times when he should have maybe threw it away. But Evans goes for 68 yards on 11 attempts. 55 for Higdon. Cleet Hill gets 5 carries for 11 yards. And then Ben Mason also had 2 yards on 1 carry. 2 touchdowns out of those. Higdon and Hill both had a touchdown. That was early in the game. Hill had one, 6:02 mark in the first. Then obviously later on, Higdon had one, 7:07 in the third quarter. But all right, let's take some calls, and we'll get back to the running game. Let's first go to Don in Sylvania.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Number one, did you say fire Harbaugh in his third season? That's just insane. Number two, I thought this game of all games this season, I think our offensive line played pretty darn good, especially like the isolation blocking. I thought our running backs blocked better than they have all season. I thought the run game was very good. Chris Evans, that was his best game all season. I really appreciated the effort there. The bottom line, let's call a spade a spade. The quarterback kept Ohio State in the game. He overthrew countless number of players, countless number of receivers. If he would have just accurately thrown the ball and did his progression reads, I think we should have had 2 more touchdowns on Ohio State. Bottom line, the quarterback play kept Ohio State in the game. And I don't understand why, maybe you can explain this to me, why our defense didn't adjust to zone, because every time you play man and nobody's on the quarterback, he has a lot of green in front of him, take off and run. Why wasn't anybody accounting for JT Barrett? Then we had Haskins, the same thing. Our guys' backs are turned, and by the time they figure out the quarterback, he's already 15 to 20 yards down the field. maybe you can help me understand why Don Brown didn't adjust. That is on him. That is on the defense. So just give me some ideas with that. But bottom line is, if we had better quarterback play, even Hornibrook level from Wisconsin, we would have beat Ohio State. That's not maize and blue glasses. We had should have had two more touchdowns on that, and he overthrew players. That would have been first downs. We were driving a ball on him. That defense, I don't understand it. Ohio State's defense wasn't stellar.
Thank you very much, Don. Yeah, so obviously the one play where he does score, JT does score, it was he waited to make sure what? It was Cannell or one of the DBs had his back turned, and obviously all year long everyone's called and said the same thing. Why don't they switch out to zone? Why don't they just every once in a while, and it will mess with, you know, there's teams that have that, you know, that run option look, and because of it, it hurts us, and it did yesterday. It did in the other games as well. That's a question for Don Brown. I thought he called a pretty good game, but yes, there was a few times where zone would have been better, but it's easy to look at it after the play's done and say, well, if he would have just had his back turned, just turned around, he would have seen it, and he did. It was just way too late because JT waited for his receiver to pull him downfield and farther away so that way he could run it and score that touchdown that he did, that first touchdown Ohio State had, for 21 yards. So, all right, let's take another caller. Let's go to Terry and Celine.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Coaching, number one coaching, coming out in August. What did we hear coming out of the quarterback camp? Neck and neck, both guys making plays. That was O'Korn and Spate, right? O'Korn, when he had his opportunity, never showed any type of promise, any type of development, any type of whatever you would need from a fifth-year senior. Ultimately, that falls on the three coaches that who watch him.
Terry, he's a third-string quarterback. He was a third-string quarterback for Michigan, obviously. And, yes, maybe they're going to talk big things out of camp. They're going to play up everyone, and no one's ever going to come out. You know, over here, Coach Harbaugh, like, you know, O'Korn's not going to probably ever play here. Shane Morris probably should transfer. You're not going to hear those kind of words. Obviously, he was the backup to start the season. As we saw, Peters obviously took that over. He was a third-stringer. Tony, you said it best before the show. If you're expecting an NFL guy to be a third stringer, then why isn't he this starting all year long? O'Korn did the best he could, but obviously, I mean, it's easy to blame everyone. It's easy to blame the coaches. It's easy to blame this. It's easy to blame that. But if you could do a better job than John O'Korn, then why aren't you on the team or why aren't you a coach? If not, then I understand everyone has an opinion, but I don't like it. It doesn't fly with me. All right, let's move on to Michael in Georgia. Michael.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Actually, Don stole a lot of my thunder. I was going to talk about the man-to-man defense, but I'll try to switch gears a little bit. I think offensively they had a pretty good game plan. It's just the problem was just not hitting open receivers, and you could tell that early on. One thing that was sort of disappointing, I don't know if you guys noticed, after the O'Korn interception, it looked like the air just totally went out of the – offense, defense, because that last run by Mike Weber, it just looked like half the team had just phoned it in.
But, yeah, 2 minutes left, and they got the ball. You kind of know they only had, two timeouts at the time. You knew that more likely they were going to be able to run out the clock. And, yeah, they oversued to the one side, and he went to the other side. And that's what's happened with Michigan defense. You've seen that happen before.
Yeah, and you just watched the replay this morning. You can see some of the guys just –
yeah.
Half running. I mean, you know, you can't – I mean, I don't know. But anyway, we'll see what happens in the bowl game. Maybe we can put a season a little more positive.
Yeah, I don't know where everyone had them, Michael. Before you go, what did you have for your prediction of the wins and losses through right now to start the season?
The big games, I had them beating Florida. I had them splitting Ohio State and Penn State. Had them obviously beating MSU, and then the Wisconsin was going to be the coin flip.
Okay. Yeah, see, I was the same way. I didn't really think – Michigan State, 3-9. Come on. They shouldn't – they definitely shouldn't have lost to them. But you can't – it's easy to go back and say that and say they shouldn't have. Because, yeah, we now know maybe put Peters in or this or that. Do – you know, all these plays work one way or the other. And we saw, you know, just the one play. Like Tony, you said – 14-0, you know, they let them back in, and you still had a chance 2 minutes to go to beat one of the, what they said, I believe it was Phil Steele came out and said that, you know, when they play a ranked opponent or they play a team, you know, at their same level, Ohio State usually dominates them. And that's why going into the week, it kind of looked like bleak for Michigan, because you think, hey, it's at the Big House. And I know Miz said this during one of the shows that he's on, one of the 14 shows. Yep. I think it was on W4 Country Show, Breakfast with Bubba. You actually said that that you got to throw out everything for this game. It's the game. And yeah. you can play up records, but we've seen that in the past where it doesn't really matter as much. But before we go to the break real quick, you guys have thoughts on this running game for Michigan?
I mean, there was a lot of glimmer of hope with a few of the long runs that came up. The one thing that I did like that happened in the second half, actually, was that Michigan did pull a little something out of Ohio State's playbook and pull the old zone read on one of the plays, and you had Okorn run for a good, I believe, 8-9 yard gain, and I was happy and satisfied with that. All in all, I think everyone put a good group effort in.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I think I don't remember if it was Don, but you know, Chris Evans had a great game. I thought he was reliable, 6.1 average per carry. You know, we probably could have used the run a little bit more, but you know, it worked. The run game worked. The one thing I do want to say though about the quarterback situation with regard to putting it on the coaches, like, I mean, I agree. No one disagrees that quarterback development is entirely the coach's job, but the coaches clearly identified that our quarterback situation was going to be a problem a number of years ago, where they were accepting transfers from like anywhere. I mean, we had what, between Rudock, Malzone, Okorn. I mean, they were clearly looking at the quarterback situation and saying, we need to get just some fresh blood in here, like from anywhere. Right. So while I agree, like once they were here, then it's up to the coaches. I mean, the coaches did see that this was going to be an issue.
Yeah, very true. But yeah, they tried to do the best they could. John Okorn, I know we call him, you know, he was the third string on that team. Doesn't mean he is. You know, who knows? You never know with what goes on.
He was just the third quarterback, that's all.
Right, right. And it doesn't mean that when we get later on. But let's go to our first break. When we come back, a lot more playground and calls. You're listening to WTK, The Ticket.